You can probably call it Twitter.
Yep.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here to our regular board meeting on December 6, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. Laura Steinman, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
One nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, as far as roll call, let the record show that all board members are present, but would we be saying three board members and then adding the additional two?
Yeah.
Okay. So let the record show that we have Director Lopiccolo, Director Franklin, and Director Albers. And we have two new board members that will be taking their administration of oath of office, Director Claiborne and Director Gerardo. So let's move on to item number three, administration of oaths of office to Director Claiborne and Director Gerardo.
Should we have a stand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are the mics on? Can you hear us?
No.
No.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So General Manager Tammy Keene will be administering the oath. So if Director Gerardo and Director Claiborne would like to come
over
here
separately
at the same time or video.
It's usually separate, but that's okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
I suggest doing it separately.
Yeah.
Time. Okay. Okay. Raise your right hand. So repeat after me. I, Christy Gerardo, do solemnly swear, that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of California, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith, and allegiance, to the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation, or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully, discharge the duties, upon which I'm about to enter,
Congratulations.
This, and we will sign this. Okay.
I, Alexis Claiborne,
do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of California, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith, and allegiance, to the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation, or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties, upon which I'm about to enter. Welcome.
Thank you, ladies. Welcome. We're grateful that you're here and here to serve the community. So thank you. We'll move on to, and thank you, Tammy. Item number four, agenda approval.
I move to approve the agenda.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. And number five, public comment. Please. And please state your name for the record.
I have a curious comment on the unfortunate situation we are in with the mountain lion in our community. Before I speak, I'd like to have my two neighbors and tell their city what happened to them.
Laura.
I would like to speak to them.
Thank you. Could you please state your name for the record?
Laura Steinman.
Thank you.
And R2. State your name, please.
Kevin Belland.
Anna Belland.
So on Sunday, it's not that week ago, yesterday or 2 days ago.
November 27th.
We had just watched something at home, put our dog out, go use the restroom. About the same time, we go inside the house, out in the front yard, sound like someone was either breaking into our vehicle or into our house. We have my retired police officer, same city of San Diego. Grabbed my firearm, went outside to check the area. Our motion light was on out front. Didn't see or hear anything, so we went back in the house, went back to get our dog. I checked one side of the yard, my wife checked the other side of the yard. While she's walking halfway through it, she screams, yells, mountain lion. So she sees it on one of our other neighbor's sides of the house. Tell her to go back in the house because since her dog's not responding to her calls, I just figured our life is more important than looking for our dogs. Fortunately, go inside before calling the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department. I don't know how up in the rural county areas are with wild animals and stuff. Look out one of our doors. I see our dog lying on the ground, unresponsive, eyes wide open. I figured she was deceased. Go back in the house, pointing out to my wife, open the window to see her through the window. While I'm on the phone with the non-emergency dispatch for the sheriff's department, my wife yells that our dog is no longer on the ground. So I'm thinking the cat came back over the fence, got her, drug her somewhere. So went out trying to look, can't see anything. About that time, we started hearing a dragging noise at her back patio where she sleeps in closed area. Get my firearm, come over, thinking it's the cat her hearing. I know you can only do an app, like an app, the time to kill. Right when I was getting ready to open the slider, her dog popped. Wet throat, white froth on his neck, real lethargic acne, bring her inside, check her, she had two punctures up underneath the lower jaw. At that point, didn't know if her cat was treed, didn't know if it was up on the roof. Of course, at that time, you're hearing everything. Take her, or call the animal control, they won't get anything. Apparently, the sheriff's department, they don't take the first on it either. Take her out to a 24-hour ER out in Victorville. And they said they wouldn't know what to do. There was no bleeding or anything. It was just two red punctures.
Huh.
So they won't know anything until they shave her down across the neck. So when we get there, that was about 5 in the morning when they would have started operation. We get a call. She's ready at 3 o'clock that afternoon. So by the time we get there, it was a big shock. She had about 8-inch stapled scar across the left side of her face. I think it was 38 sutures and staples and stuff. It was several punctures on both sides plus this huge scar and one in the center of the chest. Healing the right leg, not the real right page, but the other right leg, same. Facebook page. Gentleman recommended contacting Fish and Wildlife. Sent in the report with them. Next day, I get a call from Fish and Wildlife. And I guess there's another resident here He had released his dog out about the same time a week prior. Dog comes around the corner. Here comes the cat over his fence, chases his dog. The gentleman's still outside. Somehow he gets the cat scared off. Cat takes off. Dog chases it. Jumps the fence. I know there's at least what I've understood, probably about 4 deaths of animals from reading the page. One recently. And then the children prisoners. I'm not too sure on how old the her children are present. And the Lion King got the person's dog. So it's been kind of, luckily she's a little better today. Last days. Starting to eat more. I think the vet thought she was going to die just by the reaction on the station the other day. After, you know, here we come walking in. We're supposed to be the drainage, the 6 drainage pipes out of the road.
Excuse me, I hate to cut you off, but we're limited to 3 minutes. Okay. So you can, I mean, if you want to wrap it up and tell us.
If we live up the street off of Cedar, across from this land here. Mm-hmm. And I know people with the wild cameras and all that have been catching them all over. I guess a bear recently, to my wife, someone told her, and the street. So it's just, I guess, real active in here. And it's everywhere from the east side of Wrightwood. Now it's coming over to the west side.
Do you want to say something else? I think it'd be good to share this information with everybody. I've been sharing it with people that I come across just walking around the neighborhood during the day now. So now I'm afraid to walk anytime later. So I feel it's good to share this information just for people to take precaution. We respect nature, even though we're new to this area, but we keep our dog indoors at night. That night that he took the dog out to do its necessities, it just happened so fast. And because of my husband's training, we thought it was a problem. So I just think, I don't know, not everybody perhaps is on Facebook or on these neighborhood pages, but perhaps maybe on the by the post office, post something. A lot of times when you're in a hiking trail, they always stipulate wildlife sightings of wildlife in the area for safety reasons. And I'm sorry, Director.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry that happened to you guys as well. I hope something can be done about it.
The front page of the Mountaineer Thursday has a picture of the cat and the story.
Thank you.
That's good. And of course, maybe you don't know that Natalie had the same thing happen and lost her dog. And that animal dragged it over the fence through the flood control, cross the highway, and up through the orchard that Eric has up to the top of the mountain. And it got 6:30 at night, and I am frightened because this animal is way too comfortable coming into our town, all over the town, and coming closer and closer to people. I'm frightened to go out at night. I'm disturbed that my neighbor called, I don't know, fishing game or someone, and they said, well, it's an endangered species, and you can do something if it's attacking you. We got the Second Amendment that says we can protect ourselves on our property, and we have to be ready to do that. But I would like to know that the agencies are conscious of the fact that we have a serious problem here. I've lived here, you know, some 60 years, and this never happened before. They're moving in on us, and we've got to do something about it. And that's why I'm here to beg the CSC to please look into this and see if they can get the agencies that are supposed to protect us to come and do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
When I saw it, my husband, I don't remember the details, so I just know that I screamed, and it was divine intervention, I think, that gave me the energy plus adrenaline. The lion was hip height. Not tall, but that's over 3 feet. That's the talent.
We and believe there's three away there. From
three?
I think there's three lions.
There are. That's worse, 3 times worse.
One of them is a juvenile. So that's the one that's, I believe, on the east side that's going really bonkers.
And it could be a little child. You know, that's the problem.
Thank you for your comments. At this time, we're not really allowed to comment back, but I definitely, that's something that's very concerning to me. And I would like to see something done about it as far as raising awareness. So that's something I can maybe ask Steve if there's a way we can maybe get it on the agenda or to put out a flyer or something. But thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Yes, please.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Patricia Gonzalez, and I am with Full Circle and Beyond Prepared. I am also a community member. I live up here. And so for the last year, I've kind of been able to see what goes on here in Wrightwood. So as a community member, I would like to present my organization to you in hopes that through the next year, we could get support from the CSD as well as fire, because we do provide whole person health and emergency preparedness. So I currently collaborate and work with Wrightwood CERBS. I have support of a few of the organizations here in Wrightwood. And so what we do with Full Circle Whole Person Health is we provide physical and nutritional health, mental and behavioral health. We deal with addiction and recovery, as well as grief, loss, trauma, and crisis intervention. So one of the organizations I'm also with is Young Visionaries. So we collaborate with Loma Linda. Well, I'm specifically assigned to Loma Linda University, where I'm a crisis intervention community worker. So we are down the hill in high desert. I'm here in the mountain area. So I would like to just offer my services. So hopefully within this next year, you'll see classes. So if there's a Full Circle, that's ours. And Beyond Prepared, we provide purposeful preparation and safety education. So I really encourage people to come to the Wrightwood CERT meetings, as well as my collaboration is with Community Emergency Response Corps, AmeriCorps, ELSOL, and LISTOS. So we provide a lot of education. So tomorrow at the senior meal, we'll be here, we'll have a booth, and we just give out fun stuff. So it's just basic education, being involved, and being able to provide the community with something, you know, the five steps. And we do events. So we were here for Mountaineer Days. So Buzzy and Bliss were our two mascots, the bumblebees that were out here. So hopefully we could do some collaboration with the children, with the school district, because what I've found is when we give them emergency kits, they stick to Band-Aids all over to throw them away. So we want to give them an experience. So we provide them with the Stop, Think, Act, Be Safe. And again, just giving them an experience to remember how to be safe. So just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Patricia. And if you see me around, I'm probably going to give you something and hope that we can do some good things here in the community. And again, I'll be knocking over there on the door of fire to do anything we can do, you know, to bring some attraction and presence here in the community. So thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Are there any other public comments?
One best thing. Want to say something?
I'm Vicki Reinick, and I just wanted to let you know that down in Phelan, one of the elementary schools a couple of years ago had a public forum on the cats up here. It was a really good forum. They were losing horses down there. So I would hope that we could put something together for that to educate mostly the newcomers up here. And if you need my help, I'm available.
Thank you, Vicki. Are there any public comments? Other public comments? Okay, let's move on to item number 6, agency reports. I see it's like the Sheriff's Department. Welcome.
Hello and welcome, good board members. I am Sergeant Mark Rios. I am the Phelan Station Commander, and Wrightwood is one of my areas that I cover. I apologize, but I wasn't able to make it in September and October due to some extenuating circumstances. But I do have the numbers if you'd like me to start from September up.
We can. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Thank you.
So I figured we would, so I'm ready for that. All right, so excuse me. So total calls for service for the month of September were 112. Out of the 112 calls for service, we had 14 reports that were generated by deputies. And out of those 14 reports, we had only one arrest. For the month of October, we had 108 reports or calls for service, 11 total reports taken at that time, but we had 5 arrests. So for the month of November, a total calls for service were 102, total reports taken were 20, and total arrests were 3. Now, as far as calls for services go, the top 5 that we had that are consistent for all 3 months were 911 follow-ups for the new board members. Those can be anything from somebody calling, needing medical assistance, kids grabbing phones, misdialing, trying to call somebody else. Either way, it generates a call to us and or fire, and we both either respond or they us respond or fire respond. Just depends on what it is. The second call for service is well checks, and that could be anything from somebody out of state calling, trying to get a hold of a loved one, can't get a hold of them, or mom and dad in a divorce, hey, please go check on my kids. It could be anything of that nature, just for us to do a well check, make sure that person or persons are okay. Incidents, that's the third call, highest call volume. That is somebody reporting not necessarily a criminal matter, but an incident where they want us to go and see if it's criminal or not. And we'll go out there and advocate, hey, yes, we need to get involved, or hey, maybe something where we don't handle, we'll call our partners at Fire May, and you guys come get this, you know, it's beyond us. Fourth would be 459 audible alarms, which is just audible alarms, house alarm, somebody tripped their alarm, didn't enter the right code, whatever. And the fifth one, unfortunately, and this was death investigations. So we had 6 death investigations that we had responded to call for the month of November. Other than that, that's what I have. Still working hard. I know Snowplay's coming. We're already working on that as far as law enforcement goes. I've already met with my counterparts down at headquarters. And so we're working on getting that all wrapped up.
Do we have the information on what the 9 arrests were over the last 3 months?
I do not.
Okay.
I just know that they were arrested.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have San Bernardino County Fire. Welcome.
Got a load of this. My name is Brandon McGarvey. I'm a fire captain for County Fire. I'm newly assigned to Station 14. So I grew up here as a kid. My wife and I plan on moving back here. And I'm honored to be a part of this community again, as with the rest of our members. So for our call volume, I have November and December so far. So for November, we had 100 calls, and our number one call is always a medical aid of some sort, followed up by everything else that ranges from traffic collisions, fires, investigations. For December, we've had 29 calls so far, so we've picked up in busyness, and a large part of that is due to Mount High. Our average time from when the person calls 911 to us getting on scene is 5 minutes and 23 seconds.
Wow, good.
And that's attributed to our crews who have very fast response times getting to the engine and ambulance. Mountain High so far has generated about 25 calls this season. So we expect it to pick up once we get a little bit more weather. Our new snow cap was in the parade of lights, so we do have that. As far as business, our engine and ambulance are new. Right now, the delay is DMV registration. So they're at our shop. The crews are excited to get them, but we're just waiting. As far as the mountain lion sightings and attacks, my engineer brought up to me that we have a bulletin board out front of our station, so we can post something on there to raise awareness for any videos that we have coming by the station. That's all I have. Do you guys have any questions?
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Happy to be back. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other agencies? I don't think I see anyone. So,
wait, Christopher Porterfield can't be here.
Okay.
But he did want me to let everyone know that he's still working on getting funding for the snow play winter track. And he will let me know as soon as possible.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to item number 7, consent calendar. Regular board minutes of November 1st, 2022.
They looked okay to me.
They looked fine to me. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
And then they weren't even here for those.
All right. Item number 8, general manager's report. Thank you.
Okay. It's hard to believe that another year is coming on along with a couple of our board members. On Friday, December 2nd at 5:19, Chuck Franklin was the first appointed member of the board to be sworn in. Reason for this is we would not have had a forum tonight. The porta-pots were delivered and placed along the highway the week of Shop at Home. The porta-pot from the museum has finally been removed because we finally solved the plumbing problem. After much digging and an unsuccessful camera snake and not knowing if the museum was on septic or cesspool, I got in touch with Alpha Omega Septic. They were able to determine that the museum has a metal septic tank and found the lid. The pipes to the tank were clogged, and so was the tank was full. So they cleared the lines, pumped the tank, and actually found another lid to the leach lines. Unfortunately, that lid is under the floor of one of the sheds and is not accessible. So the leach lines, he did do a visual inspection, and he said from what he could tell, they are okay. But he can't do a full inspection unless we move the shed. So the carpet in the museum conference room was starting to look a little rough, so I rented a carpet cleaner from Mountain Hardware and had John clean that. The grease trap in the kitchen has been replaced. And the plumber had to be called on Thursday, December 1st, because of a leak at the water heater. Upon inspection, the leak was caused from a water flex connector, and both connectors have been replaced. I'll request a few bids on replacement of the water heater and have them for the next board meeting. All right, the sinkhole in the parking lot is back. It's been coned off. And, well, actually, it's been filled, okay? We had it fixed. He came yesterday, filled it. And hopefully we're not going to have any more issues. While this was going on, we did contact Caltrans and found out that it is our sinkhole. The easement is 14 feet from the highway. So it's like a foot away. I mean, so close. So if it happens again, it is our responsibility to probably look into it a little further to see if there's a way to fix it. Let's see. Angela's been working on the CalRecycle to-do list, and we're getting closer to commercial recycling implementation. By the end of the month, we'll be sending a letter to all the businesses preparing them for the upcoming implementation of the commercial recycling. A similar letter will be sent to all of the residents as well. I would like to wish everyone a happy holidays and a happy new year, and look forward to what the new year brings.
Tammy, this Cal Recycle is from the state, not us, even yes. though we have to do some type of
lots of
paperwork.
Yes, lots of paperwork.
Okay, but it's not coming from us. It's coming from
the state. No, it is definitely California, the state. Not CRNOC, not the CSD. So get mad, call state.
Right. Thank you, Tammy. Are there any other questions for Tammy? Good. Okay. Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, Angela. All right. Item number 9, October and November 2022 financials. I looked them over. They looked good to me. I didn't have any questions about them. Chuck, do you have?
Yeah, I got a couple questions. Okay. It seems like a new heading going on these. We got the first line, parks and lighting, solid waste. So if it's not one of those three, then it's not going to show up on the individual.
It's classified correctly. That's why.
Well, I'm sure it is. It's the damn government, but.
I think that was a requirement of our audit, right? Yeah. To have those classified properly.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
probably. Okay. The other question I have is for November. Which one was it? I know I marked it this time. Oh, here we go. November disbursements and deposits. It's where you have the check register, that type of thing. But under deposits, on 11/30, you have $22,656, and it says rent. That was my question. What are we renting for $22,000?
Oh.
So this was tax, huh?
Correct.
San Bernardino tax. Okay. And then you have on the 28th, $895 rent. And yes. The first three are rent. What is that coming from? Who's renting it?
The building rental.
Okay, this one and the museum. Okay. Those were the only ones that I had questions on. Because if we're renting it for $22,000, boy, let's get them back. Okay.
Hey, are there any other questions regarding the financials?
No, I didn't. And nobody else was.
Okay. Well, if everyone is good with it, can I get a motion for approval of the October and November 2022 financials?
So moved.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Aye.
30 seconds.
Yeah. All those opposed? Right. The motion carries. Okay. Item number 10, appointment of board officers. Steve Davis?
Sure. Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. After every election, within 45 days after each election, the board is required to appoint its officers. That includes the president, vice president. So that is put on the agenda every 2 years. It can be done more often than that. And the board has not established a particular policy for that. But that is the process under state law that CSDs are required to comply with. At your last regular meeting, President Lopiccolo was selected to be president so that there would be someone that would be in place so that till the new board was able to be seated. It's reflected in the minutes for your meeting in November. So really it's up to the board at this point in time to decide whether to make any changes from what was done in November.
All right. I would like to renominate Natalie as president of the board. Again, what I said last board meeting, I think with her having the most time on this board, was here for the decision to go yes on CSD campaign. And it also was a member of MAC. So as far as having knowledge of what's gone on in this community for quite a long time, those were my reasons why I felt she would be the most qualified to start as president. And I'd be more than happy to nominate her again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that, Chuck. Does the rest of the board have any comments or would they like to weigh in?
Bring it to a vote.
Okay. Well, Do I have a motion?
Yeah, motion is to name Natalie Lopiccolo to act as our president starting off this year in 22-23.
Yeah. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Sadie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Right. The motion carries. And do we have to do a second motion for vice president?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Since Chuck nominated me and expressed at the last meeting that he'd be interested in being a vice president, I'd like to nominate Chuck as my vice president.
Thank you.
So I will make a motion to nominate Chuck as vice president.
I'll second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Who seconded? Alexis. Oh, you just take the meeting. They have the minutes. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
All righty. Item number 11, Hollis Stewart Park renovation project status update. So that's me. So if you haven't noticed, the ground has broken at the park. They broke ground on the day that they said they were going to break down, which I can't, recall what day that exactly 14th. Was, the 14th. They broke ground. They worked for the first week, and then following that, they said that they had some flu going around among their employees. And so there was about 2 weeks where it sat dormant the way that it is now, but they were back to work today. So they said that it's still their goal to have it done by the projected date, which was December 16th, which is next Friday. They said starting today and the rest of the week that they were going to bulk up on their crew so that they can meet the deadline and finish it on time that they promised. But I did get a call today from their representative, and while they were working, they uncovered that area one, which is the top area, which is where our swings are going to be, which is where the large piece was. After they did their excavation, they realized that from the south side, which is the side closest to the skate park, to the north side where the swing set is going to come across, they identified that there is an 18 to 24 inch slope, like differential, that they are going to need to fix somehow so that they can have the swing set be straight. So they gave me a few options as far as remedies. And the first was that they thought they would need to do some grading and some leveling to bring the lower area up higher so that the swing set would sit straight. Or they said that there's a bracket system that they can order that is like an extension type of scenario where it would extend the pipes up or down in order to meet, you know, the level. So those were the options that were given. And that is would prompt a change order in a higher cost. And so I personally wanted to bring that to the board and see. I don't know if we're allowed to discuss it right sure. now. But that's kind of what we're up against as far as, you know, what we're looking at in order to get the swing set.
Do we have an estimate of this additional cost?
So they called at 11 o'clock today. He came back and said that he thought it would be about $1,000 to $2,000 to do grading, or the bracket system. He estimated would be about $350 to order the brackets, but they would have to be ordered and they would have to be painted, you know, the powder coat color in order to match. And so it might be a little bit of delay, but they could do that installation at the end and continue on with the rest of the installation. But the third thing that I think is that our contract with them says that we're not allowed to exceed that certain amount. That's what we signed. And so I think personally that that's something that they should have identified during their ground when they were walking the site. And so that to me is an oversight from them. And I think that maybe we negotiate with them or push back with them and say that we think that that you know, could be a cost that they have to absorb. So
what's the difference between putting the brackets in versus releveling the place or grading it?
So when you put the brackets in, because the way the swing set is, they are single poles. So this, the swing set is going to be like a pole, a pole, a pole, a pole, three different bays. So the brackets would make it to where the swing set is, you know, two poles are level, and then it might do like a step down, like a tier, you know, like a higher end and then a little bit lower and then a little bit lower than that. And so I have a picture. I don't know if I can show it, but he did a, like a hand drawing of what it would look like. So.
Well, I have two concerns. One, that they're raising the price again on us, which seems to be what they like to do.
Yeah.
And number two is the safety of the kid. I mean, this is a kid's park. This is the safety of, you know, I don't know what age is out there allowed to go on the swings and other things. But I would, you know, I'd worry about the poles sinking even more or whatever. I'd rather have it leveled. And I think that, you know, part of their quote, God, they waited. Or you and Michelle had worked with them for, God, at least a year on that type of thing. And I think, you know, as a developer, they should be able to come up with that type of information and put it out there in the original bid.
Yeah.
Because I think you guys started around, well, we started at 180, which was the grant. And then that went up expeditiously very quickly. And then the one I thought we were end at was 270,000. And we ended up at 3, and now we're going to be over 3 by whatever. I, you know,
290.
There's nothing that we can do about it if they play hardball back to us. But I don't know. I'm not a developer.
And
to be on the committee that was raising the extra money. And I know the project you're talking about, and I'm a former contractor. When you give a bid, it's a serious thing. And if you haven't gone and looked at the level.
Can you get on the mic? Because that's recorded. Thank you.
Former contractor, if you give a bid, that's your word. You have to stick by it. And if for some reason you didn't have the brains to go out there and see that there's a drop, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you keep giving them something, they're going to keep asking. I don't know who this outfit is, but I haven't been impressed with them since the beginning. But I think you got to put your feet down and say, you bid it. This is what you have to do for whatever. And yes, it should be greater rather than that other thing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Steve, I'm curious your opinion on how much we can fight it or push it.
Well, we do have some contractual protections in the construction agreement. First of all, I think it should be pointed out that they prepared the drawings and specs for it.
Yeah.
And so that was, if there's any negligence or omission, it was in connection with the drawings and specs for the project. That's on them. They were the ones that prepared those mm-hmm. documents. And so secondly, in the contract, we have a number of clauses in there that indicate in the event that there is some unforeseen circumstance in the construction of the project, that they have to bring that to the district's attention. But ultimately, they're responsible for that.
Yeah.
For the reason that Ms. Diamond mentioned is that they have, that's part of the process of the bidding is the inspection of the site. And if we had prepared the drawings and specs, that might be one thing, but they prepared them. And then we awarded that contract on a sole source basis.
Yeah.
So I think we're in pretty good standing legally.
Okay. Cool. So as far as taking action with that, like I said, he called me and I had a conversation and I was pretty firm on that, kind of having that conversation. And I told him he wasn't happy about it. What can we do? Because I've been to this point, I've been communicating with him, and Michelle was when she was on the board. What do we do as a board? Like, do we put a letter together as a board and go back to them? Do we ask Tammy to communicate with them? Do we have Steve write a letter and say,
we've been Steve probably.
We haven't even received a written change order. This is just a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So at a minimum, they have to provide us with a change order.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and the board can't take any action, district can't take any action until we receive a formal change order that the board can review.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that came up just today. I think that we could, either the President Lopiccolo or General Manager Keen can advise Innovative Playgrounds that it was discussed at the board level, and the board is not inclined, based on the information that it has, to grant any change order for this, that this is a cost that should be absorbed by the contractor.
Okay. Well, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, they can present any additional information that they may have.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly without prejudice to their ability to do that. But based on what we have right now, I concur with the board sentiment on this.
And I wouldn't want them to ignore it and just do it as is now that we know the grading needs to be done.
They couldn't do that. I mean, that would be significant. 18 to 24 inches is significant. You couldn't put a swing set up like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Pam? Yeah, sure. Please state your name.
My name is Pam Wright. I live in Ragland. Out of respect, I want to acknowledge and my appreciation for your work and all the things that you've done to get it set up. But as a member of the public, and having had experience with these kinds of things before, I would like to say I think it's really inappropriate for anyone we're doing business with to contact a board member to do that. That is a negotiation, mm-hmm. and that should go on another side. They shouldn't have access to the board to influence your thinking in something that could ultimately end up in a negotiation or in law. So when they're going around the corner and going directly to you, they're putting our community interest at risk. And you are usurping the interest of the community by letting them come to you directly. So I know you had to take that role because of us starting off as a community and getting the ball rolling. We would have never had a park had you not done the things to make it happen.
That's
but true. I just, when I heard that they contacted you directly, that really is over the line, and it's a vested, they have a vested interest, and they're having access directly to our representatives. We don't want that. We want them to go through staff and through our attorney, not having access to you.
Thank you, Pam.
That was just my opinion.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, we know that, Pamela.
So.
It's my thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm okay to let that go. Michelle and I were an ad hoc committee together pushing this for the last 2 years. But as you can see, Michelle is not on the board anymore. So I'm solo. So, I mean, if I don't know what that means as far as ad hoc committees, if we just dissolved naturally because it's over. But I mean, I would be happy to turn over all conversations to Tammy because I've done a lot of work and it's I would like to hand it over to staff.
Well, I think Ms. Wright's comments were well taken. Personally, those kind of operational and administrative issues really should not be handled by any board member. Mm-hmm. You're here to set policy. There was the ad hoc committee was established for the purposes of facilitating the preparation of the documents and the various negotiations related to getting the construction agreement. But once the agreement's in place, I think there's an argument to be made that the committee isn't no longer exists anyways, even if Director Snyder was still on the board. So I think appropriately it should go through these kind of issues should go through the general manager. I don't know that there was any malicious intent doing that. It was probably just a reflection of sort of the informality of how the relationships have been built over the last year or two. But I think it should go through the general manager, and then the general manager would present to the board Whether the board wants to continue to have that, have a committee, I think that that's up to the board to decide. But in my view, the committee was extinguished when the agreement was entered into. And now it, you really can't have a committee of one member.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the committee is in, any longer in place.
Okay. Yes, I'm 100% okay with that. So I would be happy with that. So I guess, Tammy, do you want to write him a letter and tell him that he should be communicating with you further?
Sure.
Murray? Okay. Great.
Okay.
And as far as action, Steve, would you be contacting them, or you and Tammy would work together and discussing this further?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Is there any other comments or questions about the park? Okay. Let's move on to item number 12, Proposition 68, mandatory signage for the Hollis Stewart renovation project, discussion and possible action.
Okay, the part of the grant is we have to post a sign, the covenant, stating that Proposition 68 is what funded the grant. So I've got two proposals for signage, one of them from Innovative Playgrounds. And I called them because, you know, trying to get it to match the sign that is going to be part of our. They did do a bid, $1,300. That does not include installation, you know, any part. It just is shipping and giving us a sign. They won't be putting it in or anything. So we would have to look in the labor for an installation. And then I also got a quote from our local, Sarah Bailey. I did not realize she did signs other than metal. So her quote came in at $454. And her sign, it would be the exact same sign. The only difference is the framing wouldn't be exactly the same. And I didn't get a picture of that. All it would be is literally just a metal frame around the sign, you know, to post, you know, similar to this, but not exactly like the hardwood, because this is more pipe. This is going to be more flush with the sign, and we could put it next to the sign that's already out there.
What about installation for
that one? The one from Sarah would be, we could actually have John install that one. The posts are, forget how big, I forgot to add that in there. I apologize. They're a little bit, not quite as thick, but it's the same height, the 4 feet, you know, all the measurements are the same, but all he would have to do is dig a couple holes, pour some cement, and stick it in.
Do we know what area it's going to be?
That is up to us.
Oh, okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. So the one, Sarah's I like because it was just real simple. You know, you have the sign with the metal frame and that was that. So, but I could get more bids if you guys have suggestions of other sign shops.
Rick Rice? Yes. Say the one Angeles Crest Highway sign down on Highway 2 when you first entered.
But it's wooden. Can he?
Oh, yeah, he does.
I mean, he could do that.
Okay.
For cheaper than Sarah?
I don't know. But
yeah.
I like Sarah's bid. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm okay with just going with that.
I agree. I think it's a fair quote. I would much rather pay that than the other.
Well, I like that it's a local place, mm-hmm. personally.
Yeah.
I'd rather give them the business than somebody else. So I'd be okay with the $450. I think that's high, but based on the other quote, I guess it is.
So what do we need to do here? Make a motion to go with that? Or
yeah.
Okay. I'll make the motion to choose Sarah Bailey at Metalworks for our sign needs for the Hollis Stewart Park.
A second.
Thank you.
Second.
Christy.
I couldn't hear.
Second.
Oh, okay.
All righty. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Mm-hmm. The motion carries? Okay. Thank you for your work on that. And item number 13, bridge loan options for the Hall of Stewart Park renovations, discussion and possible action. I'll let Tammy.
Oh, I wish I had better news for you guys, but I don't. The bank, the DCB, oh, it's been a nightmare. We sent them 2 years worth of statements, financials, and they came back wanting more. After 3 weeks of giving them this stuff, so this was last week, so I took them over our audited financials, and I was hoping to have an answer today, and I don't. So I apologize. This is getting really frustrating. And then again, I have the CSDA that I put in the packet. It's more of a short-term loan. You can pay it before 1 year, but you're still obligated to the interest of that first year. So you would still have to pay the $8,200. So I'm kind of hitting roadblocks on where to go, where to look.
With the DCB option, is there an obligation to an amount like the interest for the CSDA loan?
No. From what I was told, there's no prepayment penalty, and interest just incurs the day you start, and when you pay, that's the interest you pay. So they need the financials, and that's how they base the interest rate. So, like I said, I was hoping I'd have an answer today, but I don't. That honestly seems like a really great option.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's other ideas like actual bridge loans, I'm having a hard time finding a bank that even does them. So
did we inquire with the state about the early disbursement of the grant?
We did. I spoke with her. Believe it or not, their whole office was down with the flu. We've been playing phone tag, and I finally spoke with her on Friday, and she actually was looking at my letter over the weekend, and she did not call me. So
when do we need to make good deals?
I literally call her every other day and email. They're just swamped. So I'm doing this.
Tammy, the CSDA Finance Corporation, is that from the state? Or the
that's through the CSDA. RCSD.
That's
CSDA.
Oh, okay. And they're looking at a 5-year term.
Correct. But I explained what we were actually looking for, less is more of a bridge loan type. And then that's when they actually rewrote this because the first payment option wasn't for 2 years. And they rewrote it as the first year. So the penalty, like I said, to prepay would be the interest.
So we have to pay off the $300,000 or the $290,000, whatever, to the contractor. And we've got a target date of December 16th. So it's
30 days after December 16th.
So after, if we get the 30 days, once we get an invoice from the contractor, then we have to pay within 30 days. If that all happens, what you're saying is just to have this as a backup, it would cost us the full $8,257 in interest.
Unfortunately.
Okay, that's the bottom line. But we could, once we get the money from the grant, then we could pay it all off.
Correct. We can pay it early, but we'll still owe
We'll still owe the $8,200 in interest.
Mm-hmm.
Is the interest, does anything change if we don't? Well, we got to pay them in 30 days, but to pay off this loan, there's nothing to say we couldn't wait before the second year starts, right?
Sure.
So if we really wanted to.
Well, and also keep in mind that reimbursement from the state, my experience is that it's taken a while.
Oh, I know. I've heard it. Yeah, 6 months to a year sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you might end up leading into the second year anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just wondering on that. That's all. What's the
DCB follow-up? DCB? Have you talked to any credit unions, like local credit unions?
No.
Okay. I have a friend at one of them locally they'll connect you with tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know if they do that sort of thing, but that usually credit unions are a little bit more flexible thing.
Well, we know we're going to need some money before the state pays us because, you know, and my only concern with that is we would wipe out all of our contingency funds and our reserves.
Well, we would.
And, well, before we get the loan, you know, if we had to pay at that moment in time, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer, yeah, I hate spending $8,200, but that's better than wiping out all of our reserves.
Yeah, that's my point is we wouldn't.
So, you know.
Well, it sounds like the DCB option is a good option if we just have all the details.
Yeah,
they could get that. Yeah, no, I know you've been working hard on
stressing hard too. Mm-hmm. She knows that we're under the gun.
Yeah, and, yeah.
But I will.
So if we had to, in order to approve that type of a loan, we could always call a special meeting once we get the information. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we hold off until then.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's probably, we're just going to have to see what the timeline is with the park and if they actually meet the deadline of December 16th and then, you know, call a special meeting.
Aren't they 2 weeks behind already, though?
I think so, but they said that they were going to ramp up their crew, like get double the crew out this week and next week. So we'll see. They've said.
Well, there's also the issue of the grading of the stuff that's got to be discussed and handled. Yeah. So. Who knows? Yeah.
But I think that there's probably time to, Tammy, with applying for any of these. Like, just like if you were, you know, buying a house or something, it's going to take time to close the loan and all that stuff. So if you could just, you know, keep us posted on the DCB option.
Oh, like, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It sounded pretty quick. Once they approved that, we could, like, mm-hmm. the next day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It sounded really.
Okay, so doesn't sound like, does anyone want to do anything on this one right now? Okay, all righty. Then we are going to move on to item number 14, director's comments. Christy, do you want to start?
Anything you want.
I guess I'm sorry. I can start so I can show you what it's like. So, director's comments. I just want to thank everyone for being here tonight. I want to thank the new board members for stepping up and coming to serve our community. It is a big job, and I think it's nice to see people who care about the community and want to be a part of it. So I appreciate that. And, just want to thank Sadie and Chuck for all of your work always, and Steve for all of your help always, and Tammy and Angela for the great work. Wanted to thank the community and for coming out with your public comment, and specifically want to speak on the mountain lion situation. I personally agree fully about getting the word out because I know there's a lot of people that aren't on Facebook, and I would like to see maybe a flyer put out or something in the paper that you know, talks about some things that we can do, because I met with Fish and Wildlife the day after it happened to me, and we walked the whole thing, showed him everything, and he sent me some information, like some pamphlets and things on things we can do to prevent this. And his message to me was that dogs, any animals, need to be in at dusk at this point in time. And I think some people don't really realize that it's happening as early as it's happening. And so I think that we should spread the word if we can. And I don't know, you know, as a CSD, if it's within our, you know, within our scope. But I think as far as keeping the community aware of what's happening, I would like to see that happen. So, Steve, is that something we can do?
I agree exactly where you've drawn the line on that. Unfortunately, the district doesn't have any power to do anything with respect to that particular issue. But the points about, you know, awareness and mm-hmm. visibility and bringing that, notifying the community about that issue. Mm-hmm. I think that's all within your purview. So,
can we do a letter and mail it to the community?
I mean, individually,
would you, is that something I could bring to the board and you approve?
I think that'd be pretty pricey. I don't think we have the ability to spend funds on that. Maybe we could work with the Property Owners Association and do something with them. That would probably be more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or posting on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, website, social media.
Yeah, because I can give that information. Yeah. Yeah, the game warden or whatever his title is gave to me, and also just just the awareness. And I don't know where I was going with that, but it's a very upsetting situation. And my point to him was, you know, mountain lions don't attack people, but what would happen if it was a child? My kids go outside at 8 o'clock and take my puppy out to go to the bathroom. And that's what time that happened for me. So my concern is, you know, making the public aware that this is happening earlier than people think. And also they did stress that if something does happen, any incident, whether it's an attack like ours or your situation, that we report it. And these reports need to come in to the Fish and Wildlife so that they know that it's a problem up here. Okay. And that's all I had. So thank you very much and happy holidays. And we'll see you next year.
I got something.
All right.
Shall I go now? Okay. I'd just like to acknowledge some great people who have helped me, not only personally, but I think the town. Tammy, Sue and Bruno helped my wife with her setup and breakdown of all her Halloween display, which allowed us to do it this year. Bruce LeClaire, Pastor Wayne, and Jim Emery helped me move some furniture that I needed to get out of the house and get picked up. My neighbors, Rob, Sylvia, and Patricia, believe it or not, have put out my CR&R trash barrels for over a year now because I physically can't do it. And they just do it when they put theirs out. They go out and do it. I mean, just amazing people. And my other neighbors, Jerry and Lynn, have helped. Jerry took his weed whacker and helped me out, you know, doing that type of stuff. I'd also like to acknowledge Ron and Sue Parody, who, besides being in charge of the village trail, are always there to help different people along with the property owners' board of directors, of which Pamela is one, have helped quite a bit. The generosity of our citizens is shown in the over 81,000 they donated for our park. The willingness of people to volunteer confirms how special our community really is. And I truly believe that. I look forward to serving all of the citizens of Wrightwood over my new term. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. That's nice.
That's so heartwarming, Chuck.
Believe it or not.
I love it. I'd like to welcome the new board members. I'm excited that you guys are on the board, and I'm looking forward to all to come, and want to thank the rest of the board and Tammy and staff and Steve and everybody. And that's it. Happy holidays.
I want to thank you all for such a warm welcome. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to see what the next few years hold. Happy holidays. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. So thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. I look forward to serving with you all and look forward to what the next 4 years are going to hold. I also wanted to say a special thanks to my husband for the support, and then to my son, Justin, over there for sitting through. So thank you. Yeah, have a good holiday and look forward to next year.
Thank you. All righty. So, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
The future board meeting.
I'm sorry. My apologies. Back up. Item number 15, future board meeting, is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023. So we'll see you next year. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.